Welcome to the Grace Hill Podcast, a weekly podcast of our Sunday messages driven by our pastor, Michael Norman. Grace Hill exists to bring God's biblical truth to your everyday life. As we begin this week's message, we invite you to open your Bibles and capture what God has in store for you today.
Good morning. I hope you had your fill of college football over the weekend at the Norman House. We always do. And so my little secret is I don't really care for college football, but I follow it very closely because it's something my husband cares a lot about. And so I listen to ESPN radio and I keep on track with what's going on so that we can have riveting conversation. Today is our final message on our Hannah series. So by now, this story is probably overly etched into your brain, right? Well, I don't know. Maybe when it comes to the Bible, nothing can be overly etched into your mind. But today, I'm hoping that we can pull out some points and some thoughts that we haven't really touched on just yet. So our text is 1 Samuel chapter 1, and it is the story of the birth of Samuel. And just as a quick recap, Hannah was a godly woman who wanted a son more than anything else in this world. And she cried out desperately to God year after year after year. And then one year, God heard her. Wait a minute, is that what happened? Was that the only year that God heard her prayer? No. Every year, God heard her prayer. But I believe in this particular year, something happened that changed everything. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is that process to getting to the point in which everything can change. You see, God was getting ready to do something far bigger than just give Hannah a son. That's a key point today that I really want you to hang on to. God was getting ready to do something far bigger than just give Hannah a son. He was getting ready to save a nation through a baby. Sound familiar? He kind of likes doing that, doesn't he? He's done it a time or two. So for the next few minutes, I want us to think about Hannah's disappointment. For years, she wanted a son. In fact, Jewish tradition tells us that she waited 19 years for this. So she was married to a man named Elkanah, and they were likely married 10 years, and then he took another wife. Well, he took another wife because Jewish law, not God's law, not Mosaic law, but Jewish law said that after 10 years, if you haven't been able to have children with your wife, you need to get another one because it is your duty to multiply and be fruitful. So this is how we ended up with a second wife in this story. And so even though she experienced nearly two decades of disappointment, she didn't stop going to the temple. She didn't get angry. Instead, it almost seems as if she grew more humble and more aware of God's power and sovereignty. In fact, in her prayer that we see in chapter 1, Hannah cries out to God, and listen to how she addresses him. She says, "Lord of hosts, Lord Almighty." If you dig into the original Hebrew and look at that, it's as if she was saying, "Master of the universe, of all the host of hosts, God of the angel armies, you created the world. Is it so difficult in your eyes to give me a single son?" What's interesting about this is in Scripture, she's the first person to address God with these words, "Lord of hosts." She's the first one. So she has a greater revelation of who God is. So I want us to pause for just a minute and maybe think about our own hearts. Would we have become more humble, more submissive, more in love with our Heavenly Father Or would we have become bitter, angry, prideful, forever the victim? 19 years she was still traveling to the temple and making her request. In your stubbornness, would you have stayed home and sulked? Or would you have made another hopeful journey to ask the Heavenly Father, the God you know as Creator, one more time? I think there's some of us here today that have been through this, and God didn't do what we thought He should have done, and we're bitter about it. Maybe your loved one died anyway. Maybe your marriage fell apart even though you prayed. Maybe you didn't get that job that you thought you deserved. Maybe you didn't get to marry the person that you wanted to marry in the time frame that you wanted. And because of it, you're sulking a little bit. Because of it, you're like, I'm never asking God for anything again. Well, our heroine, Hannah, reacted exactly the opposite of that. She continued to seek God. In fact, she got stronger and more persistent in her request. If we're being like completely honest today and transparent, when I examine my own heart, I'm pretty sure that in that 19 years, there would have been a year that I would have been like, look, Elkanah, you just take your little hiney on up to the temple, but I'm going to stay right here because ain't nothing happening. Now, admittedly, I think I would have said that, sent him on his way, pouted, and then before you know it, I would have been like, you know, headed up there. But it probably wouldn't have been any good because I would have been up there going, here I am, one more year. Are you going to do anything? And so look at your own heart. Prideful. I think I would have been too prideful to go. But not Hannah. She made the journey every year. You know, the Bible speaks to us on this. It gives us a recognition of what happens to us when we experience this type of thing. Look at Proverbs 13:12. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. It does. When your hope gets deferred, when things don't turn out like you think, it makes your heart a little sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. So there's this story of a guy named Kurt Richardson. He is the man who invented the OtterBox. Does everybody know what an OtterBox is? Yeah? Okay. So he did not set out to invent the OtterBox. Instead, he set out to make a line of products that were waterproof that you could take on your boat or on your jet ski with you. See, he was really passionate about sports and outdoorsy things. And he was like, wouldn't it be great if there was a container that we could put our wallet, our keys, stuff like that in and not have to worry about it? And so he developed this company around this premise. And 3 times they had to move back into his parents' garage. 3 times. Over more than a decade. And then one day, they started getting a phone call about a particular product that they had. And they were like, we need more of those things that you can stick your BlackBerries in. And they were like, what? We don't make anything for the BlackBerry. But they kept getting call after call. And they were like, wait a minute. Then let's make something specifically for that. And then they got wind of the fact that Apple was going to come out with a phone. And they said, okay, we're going to make the case for this phone. And do it they did. They make 100,000, well, they sell. They probably make way more than that. They sell 100,000 Defender cases a day. 100,000. But what if, in the middle of that disappointment, that third trek back to your dad's garage, man, I couldn't have done it. My dad would have been like, Tamara, I told you it wasn't going to work. I'd been like, fine. But not them. They kept on. They kept on. Also, what if he had said, I wish people would stop calling me about this BlackBerry thing and buy my little cute Tupperware boxes for their wallets and keys? What would have happened then? So the reason I tell you this story is that he has a motto, and it is, we grow to give. Kurt actually attends a church that pastor's been to, and he knows the pastor of that church. Mr. Richardson gives enormous amounts of money to that church, but not only to that church, he has bought strip clubs and nightclubs, and together he and the pastor have turned those buildings into churches. How powerful is that? Look at what God did that he couldn't even imagine in his decades of struggle. So when your hope is deferred and your heart is sick, you suddenly find your soul prey to all kinds of thoughts. Thoughts that are not true. And those thoughts can paralyze you. They can paralyze you from having hope, from seeing God's plan. I want you to think about your disappointment and maybe start thinking about what it's saying to you that is not really true. You know, next week, 10 years ago, Pastor and I moved here to start this church. 10 years next weekend, babe. We moved to Dallas. And so one of the very first things you do when you start a church is you get a P.O. box. It's just what you do. When you start a business, you get a P.O. box because you're hoping you're going to send out invoices and people are going to pay those invoices and send it to your P.O. box. Well, when you start a church, you go around and you try to raise money and you send out letters to every person you know and you put a little envelope in there asking for them to give to this cause. And so we got this mailbox, 720754. That was the mailbox number. And every day I would get in the car and drive over to the mailbox. And at first it was like, oh, God's going to do something great today. I wonder what's going to be in there. You know, who is going to sow into the ministry? Here I go into the building, open the P.O. box. Nothing. Day after day, week after week, which turned into months. And before you know it, I was like driving, getting out of the car, going to the mailbox, rolling my eyes. And you know what was happening? Those lies that your disappointment starts telling you. They kind of break up into two categories. And the first thing that happens is it starts lying to you about you. So look at this. What is this disappointment saying to me about me that isn't true? I can never plant this church. I don't know what I was thinking. We're not any good. Nobody's going to support us. I'm pathetic. Nothing good ever happens to me. I can't get anything right. I always choose the wrong thing. Does that sound familiar? Do those thoughts start running through your head? You're not good enough. It's never going to happen. Then the second thing it starts doing to us is our disappointment starts saying to us things that are not true about God. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care. God didn't give us a vision to start a church in East Dallas. God doesn't want me to be happy. God never wants me to have a family. God doesn't want me to get married. God doesn't want me to have a better job. Is that what that starts happening? And the problem with this is we tend to get stuck in it. And when you get stuck in your disappointment, it's like being stuck in quicksand. You just start sinking and it just starts taking over. Have you ever been stuck in quicksand? Anybody? No? I have actually been stuck in quicksand before. So I was about 18 or 19, and I had this friend whose grandparents had a lake house out at Lake Whitney. And we'd been there for the weekend, maybe Labor Day, I'm not sure. And her and I got all cleaned up and dressed up. We were looking cute, fixed the hair. You know, it was the 80s, so that was a pretty time-consuming thing. And we thought, you know what? We're going to take one last ride around the lake on the four-wheeler. When we jumped on, I vaguely remember somebody saying, "Watch out for all the mud." Fine. So we take off, and we're going out, down, around the lake. We get to the bottom, and we go around to the side, and in the four-wheeler, sinking. No matter how hard Amy pushed the gas, it was just spinning, spinning, spinning. So I'm like, oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm going to get off. I'm going to push this. And then she gets off, and she goes, "No, no, I see some guys over there on the cliff." And I'm like, oh, my God. She's like 5'9", blonde, 120 pounds. So she starts going, "Hey," covered in mud, white shirts. I'm like, this is great. So I start pushing. I start pulling. I get on and I push the gas. No matter what I do, I can't get out of that quicksand. That's just, I didn't have actual pictures from our little adventure. And I will say the guys did come over to help us. I'm sure they thought it was a college frat movie just made for them. And they had to actually pull us out with a winch on their big truck. That's how we got out of that. And that's what happens when you're in your disappointment. Your wheels just start spinning over and over. And in that spinning, you just keep sinking and sinking. And those thoughts keep coming to you that you're not good enough, or that God isn't going to help you out, that God isn't going to do what you need him to do. Let me say this to you. Your heartbreak and disappointments are meant to inspire passionate prayer. Your heartbreak and disappointments are meant to inspire passionate prayers. That's what happened to Hannah. She was passionately praying. Look at Psalms 55:22. "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." Cast your burden. Listen to what happened that day in the temple for Hannah. In verse 11, "Oh Lord Almighty, Lord of hosts, master of the universe, if only you will look upon your servant's misery and remember me and forget not your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life." This is what God was waiting on. Her commitment to give up her son. You see, she had been praying for years. But on this day, her heart was ready to do what God had been waiting on. You see, it was in prayer that Hannah felt compelled to give her son to God. Outside of prayer, she would have never made this vow. God was getting ready to answer far more than just Hannah's prayer. He was getting ready to save a nation. And he was going to give Hannah one of the greatest leaders ever known. You see, Samuel wasn't just some priest. He was a pastor, a priest, a prophet, a teacher, a judge, a ruler, a warrior. In today's thought process, the best I could come up with was like a combination of Ronald Reagan and Billy Graham. Maybe Colin Powell, throw him in there too. He led the people into battle, and they won. He told the people what God wanted for their life, and he was right. So listen to this. In verse 21, The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. But Hannah did not go. She told her husband, "Wait until the boy is weaned, then I will take him to the tabernacle, and I will leave him there permanently." "Whatever you think is best," Elkanah agreed. "Stay here for now, and may the Lord help you keep your promise." So she stayed home and nursed the boy until he was weaned. You see, if Hannah had had a son immediately, with no effort or no waiting, she would have never made this vow to God. Not because she wasn't a good, godly woman or that she wasn't a servant of God. She would have never been in the spiritual position to make such a sacrifice. Her heart wouldn't have been where it needed to be. She wouldn't have been able to hear God in this way. Sometimes it takes God for a while to get us to the point that we need to be. You see, Samuel was pivotal in the history of Israel. And he was pivotal in what God was doing leading up to the Messiah. He was meant to be a transitional person that led their country to its greatest time in history. That was Samuel. You see, during the period of time in which Elkanah and Hannah lived, it was kind of desperate. If you are familiar with the book of Judges, that's basically the story of the time in which they lived. And that's a rather unruly kind of book. People were not living for God. And they were getting run over by their enemies. And the word of the Lord was very scarce during that time. We read in chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." So they needed a godly leader who could set them on the right path. And Hannah's son was meant to be that person. So Hannah followed through on her vow. And she left Samuel. And she had 5 more children. So, by the way, on this, not before. So Samuel was with Hannah for a few years. She didn't have more children until after she left him. So I want you to think about for just a minute the strength of character that it would take to leave the one thing that you've wanted all these years in the hands of someone else. Good. That character was built over 19 years of seeking God. And so she was able to do it. So here is our application for today. If things are not working out like you think they should, or you are deeply disappointed about something, I think there is something bigger that God might want to do. And so I want to challenge you to step back a little and look at what's going on in your situation and say, "God, what are you wanting to do here?" See, we tend to get very me-focused in a situation like that. You know, like when I was stuck in the quicksand, all I could think about was like, keep spinning my wheels, get out, get out, get out. I wasn't thinking about, well, there's some people back at the house waiting on us, or I could call somebody, which I probably couldn't call somebody, no cell phone back then. But, you know, you get focused on yourself, and you can't see anything else that's going on around you. You can't see anyone else who's hurting, and you can't see anything else that God is wanting to do. You know, something that I wasn't sure about bringing out of this story, but I think it's worthy. The other wife, Peninnah, so Pastor pointed out the fact that Hannah never spoke back to her. Peninnah was always like ridiculing her and talking down to her and kind of making these snide comments. And Hannah never once had a rebuttal for her. Well, I think there's a couple of things at play here. She had been so passionately seeking God that her character was already beginning to change. And she was already becoming more like God. Secondly, She had the ability to look around. Maybe what's worse than being barren, being unloved by your husband? Hannah was very, very loved, and everyone knew that. Everyone knew that Peninnah was just there to fulfill Jewish tradition. And so Hannah, again, with the character and the maturity to just keep seeking God in humility. Look at Psalms 37:4. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." If you've been a Christian for any time at all, you know this verse. And when things are not working out like you think they should, this verse irritates the daylights out of you. It does. See, I know. I knew. And you're saying, "Give me the desires of my heart." What? What's the deal, Bill? So here's what we need to do. When we're in the waiting moment, when we're in the middle of our disappointment, I think our actions are best summed up in the verses in 1 Peter 5. Look at this. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he will lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion for someone to devour." If you're in the middle of your disappointment, he knows that your heart is a little bit sick, that your soul is a little bit sick, and you're open to those thoughts. You're open to being brought down. And so resist him, verse 9 says, "standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." So, specifically, how do we stay on track after 19 years of going to the temple? How do we stay on track? Number one, pray passionately. Humble yourself and cast your cares on him. And when I say pray passionately, I mean really, truly seek him. You know, sometimes we go to pray and we're like, "God, please save my nephew. Change his life." But then we go to a football game and we're like, "Go, quarterback, throw it, whatever." I don't know, because I don't yell at those games, but I know all of you do. And so, what? You should be more passionate about God, your quarterback, making the right throw, right, whatever, than a regular game. So when you go to pray, pray passionately. This really cracked Pastor up. You gonna be able to get it back together, babe? Okay. Pray passionately. Number two, put the focus on God. You see, like Hannah, master of the universe, Lord Almighty, she was getting to know God and who he was and who he is by putting the focus on him. And then the third thing is, adjust your perspective. You see, point number one and point number two is what allowed Hannah to do this. Because she was praying passionately, because her focus was on God, she was able to adjust her perspective, and in so doing, she was able to make a vow that changed the course of history. And then finally, endure. I kind of wanted to put persevere here because, you know, all the P's, pray passionately, put perspective. But that word endure, that's really what's going on here, is just Endure, endure. Look at Matthew 24:13. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. So pray passionately. Put the focus on God. Adjust your perspective and endure. For the closing today, I wanted to do just something a little bit different. I asked the whole band to come back up here because I wanted us to revisit a song that we were singing during worship. It was the second song that we were singing, and really what I want us to do is really listen and engage in the words of those songs. Because it said this, I'm holding on to hope, fully letting go. I'm surrendered to your ways. He's the anchor of my soul. That's what this is really all about. That no matter what position we find ourselves in, we're holding on to hope. And he's faithful. He's faithful to anchor us in that hope. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And we're going to pray during this time as we're worshiping God. I want to invite you to the prayer room. George and Veronica and some others are here available to pray with you. If you feel like you're going through something and you just can't quite put that focus on God, you can't quite get the right perspective about it, there's someone here to pray with you this morning. But let me just challenge you, while we're in this safe space, we have some time, okay? It's not too late. We have a few minutes just to be in this space and focus on God and let him speak to you. Father, this morning, we seek you passionately. We cast every care on you. Lord, help us to bring into focus who you are and all that you can do, and adjust our perspective. And Lord, give us the strength by your Holy Spirit to hang on to hope today.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Grace Hill is always about knowing God and growing in God. And we want to hear from you. If you have a prayer request or simply a question, you can email us at info@gracehill.cc.